Well, good morning. We're glad that you're all here today. I trust that you're enjoying the warmth after the cold spell we had, and also enjoying the prospect of spring being here. So we praise the Lord for that. God's faithful. Didn't he promise there in Genesis chapter 9? Cold, heat, summer, winter, daytime, nighttime. He said it's all going to be there until the end. So we're thankful for God's faithfulness, and we can trust him for even things like the weather. More than we can trust the weatherman. So, I just mentioned my wife is just not feeling well. Praise the Lord, we haven't had the COVID problem, but she's just not feeling well today and was not able to be with me. So, I'm alone, but I'm sure that she wishes she could be here. In fact, I should have told her she could be watching me on live stream while I'm preaching, but I didn't think of that. So she's probably watching our service in Watertown. So we'll take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at a few verses there, beginning in verse 8, a section that includes Abraham and Sarah, and then it goes on to talk about, mention specifically Isaac and Jacob as well. And we're going to be looking at this passage, and there's an interesting statement here in this passage that sort of sets a theme here, and that's in verse 13. It said, these all died in faith. So let's read there in Hebrews 11, if you will, with me, beginning in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray here as we conclude our reading here. Father, we're thankful today for your word. Lord, we're reminded again of this important passage. We're reminded again of the importance of Abraham and in your overall plan and those promises that you made to him back there in Genesis chapter 12. And those promises became for Abraham, for the rest of his life, became the key to his life and ministry for the Lord. And we're thankful that we continue today as true believers in Christ. Based on Romans chapter 4, we too are part of God's promise to Abraham. And we're thankful for those promises that you've made to us. And we pray today as we come to the Word of God, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts. Lord, I pray that if there is someone here today who's never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that they might realize today that you died on the cross for them. You shed your blood so they could be saved. And help them today in an act of faith and a decision of the will to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And God, I pray for us as believers as well, that God, you would challenge us and give us a renewed commitment to faith and to walking with you and living the life of faith on a daily basis. Thankful, God, that we can, as the text tells us, we can see afar off. We can see, though we cannot see it with physical eyes, we can see it through the eyes of faith. And we're thankful that we, believing, is seeing, and we can see what you're doing and how you're working, and we can trust you for the ultimate fulfillment of the promises of your word. Lord, direct in our time today. Give wisdom as I speak, and I pray that you administer to the heart of each person here, and we'll pray it in Christ's name, amen. You know, God made a promise to Abraham. I mentioned in my prayer Genesis chapter 12, and he promised there that important words that he said to Abraham, and that promise was passed on then to his son Isaac and to his son Jacob and to Jacob's descendants. And certainly as we see that called the Abrahamic covenant. And that covenant included three things, two very specific things, and then another more general thing, the provision of a national land. He promised Abraham that he would have a land that would be a land to possess and to have, his country, as it were. And then he also promised descendants. He promised that he would have children and that those children would be multiplied, in fact, like the sand of the sea in Genesis chapter 15, it tells us. The third promise was maybe a little more nonspecific, but it certainly affects all of us today in the fact that he promised to bless all the nations of the earth through Abraham. And so really everything kind of flows through Abraham. That's certainly an exciting thing and certainly a great promise. Now, the evidence of a partial fulfillment came in Abraham's life when at age 100, God gave him a son called Isaac. And that son, Isaac, became the vehicle then through which those promises were going to be carried on to future generations. However, they did not see the fulfillment of that in their day. In fact, it's interesting to note that the patriarchs had many descendants. They all lived and died without ever owning any land in the land of Canaan, except for Abraham had purchased a burial site for Sarah. So they had a grave site, a grave plot, if you please. And maybe some of you here have maybe a grave site or grave plot that you've purchased. Well, that's all Abraham had to fulfill the promise that God was going to give him. Now, we know that that was going to be fulfilled at a future day, and certainly that's indicated in the text here where it says in verse 8 that he should receive a place to go to a place which he should after receive. And so, obviously, I think Abraham was at least aware of the fact that it was going to take some time for it to fulfill and ultimately went to his death, not having seen the full fulfillment of God's promise. So we see Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob mentioned in this passage, and we see they all died. And notice what it says there again, just important to note in verse 13, these all died in faith. So their faith was a continuing thing, even though they went to their death, trusting God and believing in what God had promised. Now, some would say, what good is faith if it doesn't transcend death, if it doesn't see fulfillment before death? And they would suggest that faith is simply just wishful thinking. Well, of course, we understand that true faith is the power to see beyond that which human eyes can see. And understanding that to believe in the unseen God and to believe his promises will be fulfilled means having faith in the one who promised, God himself. I like the, sometimes they say, you know, the old Missouri proverb says, if I see it, I'll believe it. Well, for the Christian, believing is seeing. And it's important to understand that faith comes out of our belief in God, and ultimately results in our ability to trust God for whatever he has promised to us. Now, our tendency as human beings, of course, is to think in terms of our physical life, okay? Our family, our job, our home, the world around us, and so forth. And, of course, our opportunity to be saved and live for God is in this life. This is where we live. This is what life is for us. At the same time, it's important to understand, which never lose sight, is there's an eternal existence beyond this life for every person. And certainly as we think about that, God promised Abraham the land of Canaan as an inheritance. And later when he arrived there, he received no land, no city, no home. In fact, he did not see any direct fulfillment of that promise. And yet, how did Abraham respond to that? Well, because he was a man of faith, he continued to trust the Lord. He, his son, his son's sons, lived and died, it says here, they died in faith. And so they continued to trust God for his promise. We could say it like this: God's promise was elusive, but not a delusion. It was elusive in the fact that God had not revealed it in their time, but he certainly continued to remind them of the importance of their faith. So these all died in faith because they realized God's fulfillment went beyond their life. And that's something I think we can relate to. You know, our faith goes beyond us, particularly if you have family, if you have children, if you have grandchildren. Your faith goes beyond your life because it, hopefully, we trust, is seen in your descendants, in those that are descendants from you. And you might say, well, sometimes a person might say, well, I don't have any children. Well, then you can adopt some children, okay? And you can adopt some people who could become your adopted children in a spiritual sense, and you can see their God worked out his will in their lives as well. And so we can see here that true faith means learning to wait on God. It means learning to put no restrictions on God's timing or the details of how God is going to work out his perfect will. And certainly we could see that God, rather than immediate physical fulfillment, sometimes his fulfillment is in the future. And let's be honest, at this point, the promise of Genesis chapter 12 is still in the future. And so we understand that, like Abraham and the patriarchs, we too need to learn to wait on God. We too need to anticipate what God is going to do. We need to wait on God's time, and we need to fulfill our time right here, right now, serving the Lord and doing his will. And certainly the fruit of faith is demonstrated in the lives of these who patiently waited on God. Notice faith anticipating the promise. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I love that phrase. Because again, it reminds us that faith sees beyond the physical realm. It sees to the eternal realm and the spiritual realm. And so we can see here they lived and died anticipating what God was going to do for them. There was a sense of anticipation on their parts. And we can see that a time passing did not discourage them. It did not result in a lack of belief or loss of belief, but it heightened their anticipation for God's answer. Notice what it says there in verse 13. It says they received the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. So it says they perceived the promises. They realized, because again, the eyes of faith allowed them to see beyond the mere human realm. And so they saw that faith was trusting God at that point for what they couldn't even see, and yet they were going to trust God for it. Notice it says not only did they perceive, but notice as he continues here, he says they were persuaded of them. In other words, they came to the place of conviction, and in their faith they knew that God would ultimately fulfill what he had said he was going to do in their lives and in their future and in their family. And this is proven by the fact that they went to their death in faith, trusting God. And so they perceived them. And then there's an interesting next words provide for us some further thought here. Not only did they perceive them and persuaded them, but they embraced them. And we usually think of embracing as maybe a hug, okay? And yet, as we think about that, they put their arms around these promises, as it were. They said, God, you promised, and we're going to hang on to those promises. They embraced them. And certainly they embraced them in continuing faith and to cling to what God had said to them. And again, they went to their grave. They went to their death. They ended this life not having received the promise. They lived, went to the grave, anticipating their day and their descendants would see the complete fulfillment of God's promise. You know, it's amazing how the history of Israel, and don't have time to wrap that all in here, but, you know, we look at the nation of Israel, Abraham's descendants. God promised him in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 there, he says that Abraham believed God. What did he believe? Well, God told him that the stars of heaven would, his descendants would be like the stars of heaven. And it says that Abraham believed God. I personally believe that was the moment of his salvation. Though he might have been saved before that, at least at that time, it's stated that he was trusting in God. So we know for sure at that point he was a true believer. And so we can see there as God promised it to him. So we see the nation of Israel, and we see it expanding and growing. Hundreds of thousands of people that came out of Egypt in the Exodus. And then we have the continuation in the land as they had the conquest. And then, of course, ultimately, because of sin and idolatry and disobedience against God, God brought along the Babylonians. And in 605, Nebuchadnezzar came and took away the prominent people and came back in 597 and came back again in 586. B.C., and literally destroyed the city. Block by block, the city was dismantled by the Babylonian army. And the Jews were taken to Babylon. At least most of them, a few poor people were left, but the nation were taken from the land. And at that point, their hope was dead. Well, of course, we know that in the days of Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah, the temple was rebuilt, the city was rebuilt, the people came back, and there was at least to a certain extent, though they were in unbelief at that point, there was a continuing commitment to that area. And then in 70 AD, we know the Romans came and destroyed the city. And from 70 AD until 1948, the Jews were again without a homeland that they could call their own. And then, of course, because of the Balfour Declaration, if you're familiar with your history there, you know that that made it possible for Jews to return to this land of Israel. Now, it's not the full land that God had promised them, but at least it's a little sliver of land there in the Middle East where they can claim as their homeland. And, of course, they're there, but they're there in unbelief. So we cannot say at this moment that that promise of Genesis chapter 12 has been completely and fully provided for and come to reality for the Jewish nation. But certainly Jesus made it clear, did he not? He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you and I will come again, receive you unto myself. And certainly we can see here, he's promised. Peter says, where's the promise of his coming, the scoffers say. And he reminds us that Jesus is coming. And so we look forward to that day when Christ is going to come back in what we call the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation period to initiate the kingdom age. And that fulfillment, that Genesis 12 fulfillment is going to be done. So the anticipation of these people, their anticipation was a matter of faith. Let me ask you today, friend, are you anticipating God's answer to his promises? Are you anticipating God working in your life, in your family, through your church, in our world today? Or have you given up? Is your faith seeing? Is it perceiving the truth? Are you persuaded of it? Are you embracing it? I trust so. But if not, let me challenge you to the anticipation of faith. Now, there's something else that it says here. Notice, if you go back here to verse 9, it says, by faith he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles. Tents. Abraham was a tent dweller. So we think not only is there anticipation, but I suggest to you there is tenting while waiting. Okay? Because Abraham is, at this point, he's waiting on something. He's waiting on a fulfillment of God that God has challenged him with. And so, while awaiting the future fulfillment, he spends his life in a tent looking for a city of God's building. The honest truth is, Abraham never gave up looking for that city. And he had left Ur of the Chaldees, if you're familiar with that passage there in Genesis 12, and actually before that, the history of his coming from Ur of the Chaldees. He goes to Haran and then ultimately ends up there in the land of Canaan. And we can see there that he saw that Ur of the Chaldees, he could have returned, verse 15 tells us. And it tells us that he saw the cities of Canaan, but his search for a city was making him. What was he looking for? Well, he was looking for a spiritual habitation. The conclusion was that they did not belong among the Canaanites. I think it was very evident, and certainly Abraham saw that. And they had not belonged in Ur of the Chaldees. We assume that as a young person, Abraham was a idol worshiper, because that was the worship of the land of the country of the place of Ur of Chaldees. So we assume that God called him out of idolatry to faith in the Lord. And their only hope was a heavenly place of God's preparation, a spiritual habitation, a national home. And it's interesting in verse 14, they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. The word country here is an interesting word, and it has the idea of a fatherland, a country of their own. The word is patrius, the original there, and literally means a fatherland. A country of their own. And so it would have to be God's doing. Obviously, Ur of the Chaldees didn't fulfill that. The cities of Canaan didn't fulfill that. And so Abraham realized God was going to have to do something to make this place happen. In a real sense, he realized that he was a man without a country. And let's suggest that even though modern-day Israel has carved out a homeland in the Middle East, their existence there is tenuous at best. And it certainly has not been fulfilled in the sense of Genesis chapter 12. And so we can see here, they're still tenting. The songwriter reminded us, by the way, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims. And so for us as well, in a real sense, our life is a continuing sojourn waiting on God's promises to be fulfilled. And so we think of what God is doing, tenting while waiting, and there's a waiting that goes along with faith. And then we can see here the importance of that. Now, what about you today, friend? Do you belong here? Are you tenting? You know, as believers, our roots are in heaven. God has placed us here temporarily so that we might glorify and serve Him. But our home is heavenly one. I like what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That has to be our focus. This is not our future. This is only the means to the future that God has for us. And so let's learn from that. Learn to wait and learn to trust God as we tend here, waiting on God's full fulfillment of His promises to us. But notice something else that resulted here in the fruit of faith in the life of Abraham, and that was the fact that he was ignoring the past. Notice in verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from which they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Not only did they realize the futility of the present, but they also made a clean break with the past. And we can see that when God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, he did. He went to the land of Haran, and he stayed there until his father died. And then he continued his pilgrimage and ended up in Canaan land where God had told him. Now, again, just think of it this way. It's kind of like going on vacation, but you don't know where you're going. And you just have to say, okay, get in the car and start driving, and then I'll just tell you when to turn. And so, you know, you're just going and going and going, but you're not sure where you're going. Well, Abraham, of course, he didn't have a car. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't probably have maps either. But he went to the place that God told him, and he trusted God for his steps. And, you know, we think of that. Two factors supported Abraham's faith at that point. Number one was God's call. Genesis 12, God had said to Abraham, leave the Chaldees, leave your family, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. So he had God's calling. He certainly had that important thing in his life, but he also had his conversion. And again, I personally believe that in Genesis 15, verse 6, there, when Abraham believed in God, it was counted to him for righteousness. I believe that was his salvation. He might have been saved before that. That's possible. But at least at that point, for sure, he's a true believer. And so we can see God's promises. And so those became the foundation points in Abraham's life for his faith. And so there was no option of going back. In fact, notice in verse 15, if they truly had been mindful of that country, in other words, if they had been thinking about Ur of the Chaldees, if they had sort of been had their concentration thinking about that place. Obviously, once Abraham left, that was out of his mind completely. He was not remembering the past. The option of returning was completely out of their minds. They no longer considered it their home. And then we can see they chose not to return. Maybe someone said to Abraham, well, why don't you just go back where you came from? We don't know that happened, but it might have happened. But Abraham, he was committed to doing God's will because of his faith in God and his promises. And so we could see that faith made the past life an unthinkable choice. Believing God meant going forward rather than going back. You know, salvation is certainly that for sure, as we think about the fact, the importance of making that commitment. Reminds me of a friend of mine. Well, he's with the Lord now, but his name is Glenn. And Glenn was, he grew up in North Minneapolis. He was a big guy, pretty husky, and he was a bouncer in a bar in North Minneapolis. And he was a fast pitch softball player, and was involved in the softball leagues there in North Minneapolis. And Glenn trusted Christ as his Savior. Now his body was marked. He had a scar on his neck from a beer bottle that someone had broken and cut his neck, and in a bar fight. But he got saved, and he got involved in a good church and began to grow. And he even felt that God had ministry for him, so he ended up going to school and getting Bible training and ended up becoming a pastor. But this is in the early part of his salvation, and he's given a Sunday school class in that church, and he's teaching some elementary boys the Bible in Sunday school. But he was still playing softball with his friends. Now, he was no longer drinking, but he was playing softball in the beer leagues there in North Minneapolis. And after the game, you can guess where they went. They would go to the bar. And so Glenn was going with them to the bar. He wasn't drinking anymore, but he was going with them. And one day, one of the parents of his Sunday school class saw him going into the bar. And so they came and talked to him and said, Glenn, what are you doing? Glenn said, I'm not drinking. I'm still playing softball. And the father said to him, you know, you need to be careful because your testimony is at stake. And you have gotten saved, and you need to walk away from that old life, and particularly that evidence that might be a stumbling block for someone concerning your separation from sin. And so Glenn, he made that decision. He made that decision to no longer go to those bars and be a part of that celebration after the softball game. What was he doing? He was demonstrating that the past was past. And he was no longer going to live in that past. He was no longer going to be a part of that past. He was going to separate himself unto God. And certainly that was an important truth for him. You know, being saved, friend, means making a break with the past. The Bible says those that go back only prove that they were never believers in the first place. And so we need to commit ourselves to a pathway of obedience and separation from sin. And the Bible reminds us we're not to love the world. The Bible reminds us we're to make that break with our past. And that's exactly what Abraham did here. Now, it's interesting to note as we continue here that faith received the prize. You say, wait a minute, verse 16. But now they desire a country, a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You say, well, wait a minute now. Did Abraham receive the promise? Well, I think he did here, if you read carefully in this verse. The prize for which they waited was not an earthly physical one. It was a heavenly and spiritual one. God had blessed Abraham with a physical innumerable descendants, but the fulfillment of a national land was fully yet to come. What was the prize? Well, notice in there in verse 16, they that desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. You see, the prize was having God's name. The prize was being a child of God. The prize was being one of God's children. The prize was being adopted into God's family by faith. And that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? God has adopted us into his family as we trust him. We become a part of God's family. And that's certainly a great privilege, a great blessing. Undeserved for sure, but it's just the idea of adoption here. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his true descendants, all believers here. And it says they were not ashamed to be called his God. And that's important here. And also he says here, notice what it says in verse 16, for he has prepared for them a city. That's in the present tense. And so it tells us that that preparation is already in process. It's already ongoing. We know that Jesus told us in John 14 that he was going to go and prepare a place and he would come again. And I suspect that that preparation process is, if not done, is ongoing at this moment. And that's exactly what he's promising here. He's promising to Abraham that God is working out the complete and perfect fulfillment of his will. You see, the future must go beyond mere human fulfillment. It must rest in a heavenly inheritance. You know, it's possible, while we're here on earth, even to get a glimpse of that. I'm reminded of George Frederick Handel. Handel was of course, the man who wrote the Messiah. But it's interesting, a little bit of his history. By 9 years old, he was writing cantatas. Can you imagine that? Anybody got a 9-year-old writing cantatas here? Probably not. Obviously, he was a man who had a great ability. And he even had an opportunity to play before the King of Prussia, which would be a significant accomplishment. But in time, things happened. His father died. His music no longer sold. And eventually, he was bankrupt. And he was sort of in despair at that point, and so it said that he closeted himself in his home for 24 days, and in 24 days he wrote Handel's Messiah. And it's interesting, if you're familiar with the words, they're awesome. I mean, there's probably no music that certainly would be any better than that as we think about the caliber of music, but certainly the message. And here's what he said. He said when Handel died, he was buried at Westminster Abbey, but he says this, his testimony about the writing of the Messiah. He said, I did see the heavens open and the great God himself seated on the throne. Revelation chapter 7 and 19 especially moved him, and to hear the thrilling hallelujah chorus, you think he had caught the refrain from heaven itself. You see, God has promised a wonderful, wonderful future. He said, Paul tells us, God hath not, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, he neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And so really, Abraham, though he didn't physically see the fulfillment, we do know there is going to be a physical fulfillment, at least in the spiritual realm, because, of course, we know that there is going to be a new Jerusalem. And as far as we know, it's going to be a real place. In fact, there's some detail of that in the book of Revelation. And those 12 gates that are pearl, the gold that's there, the walls of jasper, the 12 foundation stones that represent the foundation of that city. It's a 1,342 miles square and high. It's either a cube or pyramid. So we're talking about a huge, huge, awesome city. And that's going to be the residence of us as believers, as church age saints, in the millennium and in the eternal state. So we thank God for that. Well, that's what Abraham was looking for. But because of his faith, he could live his life, he could trust God, and he could go to his death knowing that God was going to fulfill his promise. And you know what, friend? We can do that too. We can do that. Now, the Lord might come in the rapture and take us unto himself, and so we might see the actual fulfillment of the beginning of those end time events in our lifetime. He could come today. He could come today. I hope you're ready. Because only those people who are born again are going to go up in that rapture. And so he could come today, and I think it's important that we think about and anticipate that future, and that rapture is going to set in motion a range of events, a seven-year tribulation period of judgment on the earth, a thousand-year millennial reign, and then the eternal state in which we're going to enjoy the presence of God for all eternity. And so we can say with Abraham, we too are looking for a city. A better city, a better country, as it tells us here in the text. A heavenly one, the writer tells us. And God is going to be our God. He's not going to be ashamed to call us his God, because he's going to adopt us into our family, and he has prepared or is preparing that place for us. I hope today there has been a time in your life when you realized Christ died for you. When you realize your sin is separating you from God. And only through faith in Jesus Christ can you be born again, can you know for sure that you're going to be with Christ for all eternity. I trust that that's your heart belief today, and I trust that you are putting your faith in Christ. And yes, you may end up going to your death not seeing that fulfilled. But I just love this passage because it said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. I hope you've done that. Father, we're thankful today for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for your loving kindness toward us through Christ. Lord, I pray for each person here. Lord, I don't know hearts, but you do. I just pray for that person here who might not know for sure that Christ is their Savior. And I pray that all they would have to do would be simply in an act of faith today, put their trust in you. Just simply acknowledge their sin, acknowledge their broken heart and sinfulness, and just cast themselves upon your mercy and trust Christ. And for us as believers, Lord, we're so excited about what you're going to do, about the future and the anticipation of that future. And I just pray that you would help us to put our absolute total confidence and trust in you. As we wait on the fulfillment of those promises you made to Abraham, those promises yet unfulfilled, which are going to come to fruition in your perfect time and your perfect way. And may we, as an act of faith, be part of that commitment and the fulfillment of that promise. Thank you again for your word and these reminders. And may our faith be a part of our everyday life as we anticipate your fulfillment. We'll ask in Christ's name, amen.